Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2pm, with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes. I'm Alan Collier and I'm here to present Choice Tunes. And the idea, and I think you all know by now, is we invite somebody in that's well-known or been active in the community over a number of years. And I guess a lot of you will have heard of this man that we've got. Oh, I let the cat out of the bag. It is a male, not a female. But anyway, we like to keep a surprise right at the very last second as to who it is. But this person, you will have heard a lot about them, and I guarantee a lot of you will have dealt with this man. He's had a very successful career in the Yarra Valley, and it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Andrew McMath. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Alan.
And we all know that you've had a very successful business in the Yarra Valley, but we'll get to that a bit later. So we want to know a bit about yourself. Were you born in the Yarra Valley, Andrew, or where were you born?
I was born in Southport, England.
Oh, right. So you're an import.
I'm an import, a 10-pound pond.
So at what age did you come out, Andrew?
13 years old. And I was born in Southport, which is 20 miles north of Liverpool.
Right.
And when I left, there was no such thing as the Beatles.
Yeah, I bet not.
But they weren't far away.
Andrew, you came out, obviously, with your mum and dad. Have you got brothers or sisters?
I'm the eldest of seven.
Seven?
Yeah. Yep. And there were six of us. My youngest brother was a year old on the ship as we came out here.
Yep.
And another sister born here in Yarra Junction.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but most of us are English. We all grew up the first five kids in 5 years, which was the usual thing in those days.
Yep.
And we all lived a happy little family in England, but times were tough.
So when you came out here, you got off the boat. Where did you go?
Well, we first went to Broadmeadows to holiday camp,
yep,
or hostel, you might call it.
Yeah.
Much to my mother's dismay.
Yeah.
But it was a roof over our head.
Yep. And how long were
we
there?
We were there for a month, maybe 6 weeks. We were supposed to be there for 2 years.
Yep.
And we... the reason we ended up in the Yarra Valley was because on the boat, as want would have it, as you are allocated your dinner partners for the next month, you get to know those people fairly well.
Yep.
So Mum and Dad got to know a couple that were coming out from London.
Yep.
And they were not going to the camp, they were being sponsored.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
were going to a place called Mount Evelyn.
Now, oh, right.
So they went off happily to Mount Evelyn, and about a month or so after that, I remember very vividly that this fellow George turned up at the camp in a brand new Volkswagen Beetle, which took my imagination straight away. I'd never seen a brand new car.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I know you're not really happy here. Well, my dad had been given, he got a job, which was exactly what you should do from the government.
Yep.
He was a welder.
Yep.
And he was welding up trailers and caravan chassis and stuff like that. And I briefly started at Faulkner High School. It was high school.
Yep.
For a very short period of time. But Mum didn't like it there. She had four or five young girls and the army camp was right next door. Not too impressed
not
with
too
that.
Not too impressed, yeah.
Anyway, we had no choice. We were going to stay there. That was it. Yep. I would have ended up in the western suburbs. We'd all still be there.
Yeah.
But George turned up in his Volkswagen and he said, oh, I know a little place where you can rent if you want to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's in Mount Evelyn. So we took took the plunge, and we went to this little place in Mount Evelyn, and Dad got a job at Nunna Wadding, which is a fair old job with no car. We didn't have a car, so he had to run to the end of the road and get a ride somehow down to Nunna Wadding each morning.
Yeah.
And I remember him bitterly complaining. We'd just come from a bitter winter in England to this wonderful warm place in Australia, but it was not very warm in Mount Evelyn. As he said, he was dodging the ice and the puddles, running to catch his ride. What has he brought us to?
Yeah.
And so we were there for about a year.
Yep.
In that... there's quite a story attached to that, if you want me to go on with it.
Well, we'll just skip over, but we'll come back to it. So then where did you go to?
Well, that's why we ended up here in Yarra Junction a year later. So we were renting this place in Mount Evelyn, and I was going to Lilydale High.
Yeah.
Mum, for whatever reason, ended up here in Yarra Junction and saw a wonderful white house on a hill that was for sale.
Yeah,
but we had no possibility of owning a house or anything like that.
Yeah,
but she had a very good rapport with the landlady, who was a lady from Essendon who used to come up every week. And she must have had two or three more other rentals in the area because she'd come. I remember with her bag, and she could come and collect the money.
Oh,
and go around and collect the rest and get back on the train and go back home. But she really liked our little family because, you know, we didn't have any money.
Yep.
We're always polite, always scrubbed clean and looked fresh and very, you know, did the right thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mum's just sort of raving on to her about this house that she'd seen. A week or two later, this lady, Mrs. Bailey was her name, she said, "Look, I've got a surprise for you, Mrs. McMath. I bought that house in Yarra Junction. I really like the look of it.
Yeah.
And I want you to go and live there and raise your family in Yarra Junction.
Terrific.
And I want you to keep paying the rent, but each payment of rent will come off the principal of the house."
Gee, that was terrific, wasn't it?
I never heard of such a thing because as a young bloke, I didn't know that. But as time went on, I realised how wonderful that was.
Oh, terrific.
And so within a few years, Mum and Dad had some equity in the place. And that's why we ended up in Yarra Junction. A little bit of a problem with that was Dad still had to find work.
And not much work up there.
No, and he found a job as a welder in Sylvan, amongst all the berry farms.
Yep.
There was a factory there that made industrial-sized cameras, like the length of a big double-decker bus, the frame on them.
Yep.
And the camera would sort of roll up and down. And he was there for many, many years. But we had an old Austin van that he bought, the first one we bought, so he could get some transport.
Yep.
I remember vividly, and I'll tell you a lot about cars as we go along, that he had the opportunity at the used car lot to either have a 1955 Chevy or an Austin A40 van for the same money.
55 Chevy would have been the best, wouldn't it?
But they use a lot of petrol, says Dad.
Be worth a fortune,
and he regretted that forever.
Did he?
Oh yes, he did. But anyway, the van did the job because we just put bench seats along in the back. You know, no seat belts or nothing them days, and the five or six of us kids would sit along the side. And, and we'd thunder up and down this highway, wearing out tyres, or
that's terrific.
And wearing out engines, I remember.
So, did you stay at home there at Yarra Junction until you eventually married?
No, pretty well. We moved there in 1960, in the middle of winter, and I still went to Lilydale High, catching the Martyrs bus every day down to high school. But I was 15 on the last day of the year. I was born 31st of December.
Right.
And so I turned 15 and I was able to leave school. Not that I wanted to leave school. I was in the A grade and I was doing quite well.
Yep.
But Dad earned £21 a week.
Yep.
And by getting an apprenticeship, I could earn £5.10. And that made one big difference to the family budget.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
So long story short, we ended up looking for jobs in the area, and there was none, but there was just so happened to be two going at Warburton.
Yep.
And Warburton had a Holden dealership in them days.
I remember that, yep.
And a workshop up the top. of the hill there. And there was an apprenticeship for a mechanic and for a panel beater.
Yeah.
Now, when I got there to have the interview, they said, you're just a little bit late for the mechanic's job, which I thought that would have been the one.
Yeah.
That's already been taken. Yeah. So quite wittingly, I said, well, I always wanted to be a panel beater.
Yeah.
Which, remember this fellow George I talked about, he was a panel beater. So I had some inkling there what they did. Oh, well, that's all right then. So you can start. So I started 15 years and 2 days old. Right.
Yep.
And I was at Yarra Junction, start work. Next question, how do you get from Yarra Junction to Warburton?
Warburton,
and you've got no transport, nothing. Hitchhike was the go, which I did for quite a while. And fortunately, quite a lot of the fellas that worked there happened to be coming past, and they gave me a ride until I could save up just enough. The £5.10 I got, I was quite happy to keep the 10 bob for myself.
Yep.
I thought I was in clover with that. Mum and Dad had the 5 quid, and I saved up to buy a push bike.
Oh, right.
Which I rode from Yarra Junction to Warburton for the next 2 or 3 years.
So you paddle beated, then what was your next job, Andrew?
Still, when I left there at Warburton Motors, which was a very, very happy time of... there were wonderful people up there.
Was it? Yep.
And so many local people that, you know, I've worked with, they're still around the area.
Yep.
I'd had enough of the... I was never a 9-to-5er or 8-to-30.
Yeah.
I just... Yep. The last time I looked at the clock when I was working was probably there.
Yeah.
So when I got my licence and got my car and left there, I could still do the panel beating in the afternoon.
Right.
But Mum had started a bakery shop in Lilydale.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Making apple pies and whatever. And and we'd got somehow involved with the Baker Boy brand bread carters.
Right.
And I said, well, I think I could do that in the morning if I get in there at 5 o'clock in the morning and or do a bread round, which is exactly what I did for quite a few years.
Yeah.
So I used to get there last and get back first because I run like a rabbit delivering the bread house to house, that was in those days.
Sure.
You know, with your money bag on and you know, people would put out, I want a half a loaf of bread or whatever. But I did that for years and I would always get home by about 12 o'clock afternoon.
Then you go paddle
bit. We'd pick up a car or something from Peter Robinson Motors at Lilydale, which is one of them, he was the Holden dealer then.
Yeah.
A used car that they wanted detailing or just knocking a few little dents out of.
Yep.
And my wife and I'd do all that side of it, and my wife would do the cleaning of the car inside. And it's a good little business going.
All right, so then what did you do after that?
Kept that going for quite a while, about 6, 7, 8 years, I think, on and off. I was in and out of the bread carting because it got a bit much.
Yep, yep.
But I think I remember going back 2 or 3 times, but still did the panel beating part-time until we bought a... We were living in Lilydale at the time and still wanted always to get back to the Yarra Valley. Loved it. And so this house we had a house in Wanda North.
Right.
Which we'd just bought from a timber frame and built it up to something. We paid $5,000 for it in 68, 69.
Right.
Sold it in about 72 for... $10,000.
I thought you might be rich.
We'd done very well. And bought a block of land in Gembrook Road launching place for $4,000. And built a house on it. And it all ended up costing us $14,000. It's not a 4-bedroom house. It's a ripper. Still there today.
That's all right. Yep.
But I needed a job in the area then.
Yep.
And so I got a panel beating job with... well, basically, most people would know it as Bailey Brothers in Yarra Junction.
Oh, yeah.
Although it was Ron Coleman was the owner of the business then.
Oh.
And I worked for him for a number of years.
Yep. So your background has really been panel beating.
Yes, exactly right. Trade, yep.
Let me take the next jump. How did you, or what took you from panel beating to real estate? Because that's where we know you as
exactly
Andrew
right.
McMath Real Estate. So
exactly
how did you make the leap?
Working away in the panel shop, and you can maybe hear a little bit of a croaky in my voice, and because I suffer from asthma,
right?
And I was fairly sick with this breathing problem.
Yep.
I was 33 years old. Went to the doctor, which is a bit unusual. You don't go to doctors when you're young. He said, "What do you do for a living?" I told him. He said, "Well, I think you better get the
hell out of there."
Because that's not very good, not very good for your health.
Yep.
Oh, right. So what am I going to do? So I thought, well, I knew a fair bit about cars. Oh, maybe I could. And my wife said, "Well, you can spruik a bit, so maybe you could be a used car salesman or something." So toured to that for a bit, but didn't get any job. Didn't get a job. And then I saw in the local paper there was an advert for a real estate agency wanting people to become salespeople.
Yep.
So, I'll give this a go. So got the job.
Yep.
Straight away, it was Burke Real Estate who were just setting up a chain of offices all the way up the valley.
Yep.
There's quite some stories to tell about how that all came about.
We don't worry soon.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to it if you've got time. But that was at Warburton, the Warburton office. Huh? They'd only been there for about a year and they were looking for a couple of new salespeople. Now, the thing was, in those days, they'd take you on, no problem, no training, no nothing.
Yep.
You virtually got paid something for your petrol money.
Yep.
But you'd use all that driving
and
around the
Yarra
Valley.
You didn't get paid a salary unless you sold,
no salary,
did you?
Much of any sort. And so I realised after about a few days in the job, I ain't going to get no pay here. unless you can sell, you get paid as soon as you could sell, get something unconditional.
Yep.
You get a paycheck that week.
Yep.
So I think I sold something in the first week, but it was a bit of a disaster.
Was it, Andrew? We'll stop there. Your first song, Marty Robbins, A White Sports Coat.
Mm.
What does that bring back, memories, or why did you pick that one?
It goes back to England as a young fella. It's probably the first song that I ever heard. I'd probably be 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
That I sort of, that sounds good. I've no idea what was on the radio, but it probably didn't appeal to me. If there was anything on the radio, because I remember hearing this song and it was on Radio Luxembourg.
Yep.
And that really took my imagination. Where is this Luxembourg?
Right, let's listen to it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Andrew, just following on, we still want to know a bit more about you. You were working for Burke Brothers. You stayed there for a while. What made you? Because I think anyone's very brave who leaves a paying job and goes out on their own and runs their own business. My father did it, but he was in hardware, and we're not here to talk about Dad anyway. But I think anyone who gives away a good job and then goes and takes the risk, because you're risking everything. You're risking your house, everything that goes. So what made you decide, I think I'm going to work for myself?
Well, it was just that health problem to start with.
Yep.
And so I started and realised that I had to get on with selling real estate.
Yep.
And just as an aside, the first place I sold in Warburton, I took my wife to have a look at this wonderful job I'd done selling a house.
Yep.
And she said, "That's very nice, Andy, but what's the one next door with the real estate sign on it?"
Right.
At which point I realised I'd shown the wrong house.
Oh, no!
And I'd sold the house next door. Well, I sold it. You couldn't sell it because it didn't have any paperwork.
Yeah.
So, big embarrassment here.
Oh, bet.
I thought, well, that's the end of my real estate career. I'm going back to panel beating. But as being a half glass full sort of a fellow, I thought, well, what do I do about this? So I quickly whipped round to the nice young couple that I'd shown the house the day before and said, "Have I got a deal for you?"
"Have I got a better one?"
As it turns out, they said, "Yeah, that one is much better. Thank you very much. We'll buy that one." So that all settled down, and the boss never found out for about 12 months after that.
Gee, that was
because
lucky.
that was a bit of a faux pas.
Yep.
Anyway, that set me on my real estate to selling track. Yep. So.
So then, what made you? What decision made? Where did you sit down and say, "Well, I'm going to do something for myself rather than..."
Yeah, I did fairly well. 1978, things were going along fairly well.
Yeah.
People coming up, buying holiday homes and stuff like that. Applied myself to the job. We'd sell a block of land and sell a house with it, so you get paid twice.
Yep, yep.
Sell a builder would build a little holiday home on it. So there's a fair bit of that going on at that time. But my mentor, the owner of the business, said, "If you're going to get anywhere in this job, you're going to have to get yourself a full real estate license."
Yeah.
Which meant basically a university degree. I said, "Right, I'll get stuck into that." But obviously they had no time to go to school or anything like that.
Yep.
So I did it all by correspondence and night school. And in 4.5 years later, the business in Yarra Junction was... He basically kept it going. He put me in as a manager there for a while and kept me going until I got my full license.
Gee, that was good.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, yep. And bought the business from him in 1983.
Right. Now, but then you weren't always in Yarra Junction, were you?
No, but that's mainly Yarra Junction at that time was...
Yep.
My wife and I said, "Well, we're going to call this business," and we worked out Andrew McMath Real Estate and made her up her own little sign and...
Yep.
Had a real red hot go at it for about 4 or 5 more years, and I'm only approaching 40 years old, but I was absolutely worn out, and I didn't realise just how much pressure I was carrying.
And
I really needed was a holiday, because you're working 7 days a week. So I ended up saying, which a lot of other officers were doing at the time, either amalgamating, merging with the bigger ones, or just selling up and maybe just going back and working for that business. You probably did better as a salesperson than as the boss. So anyway, I sold the business and got out of real estate for a while.
Yep.
And just sort of got my head straight and settled down. But it didn't take me long before I realised I wanted to get back.
You want to get back into it? Yeah. Which could happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So that all transpired, and we started up again. Here in Wooriyuluk, where the mower place is now.
Yeah, that was your first.
It was a motor mower place on the one side. There's two shops there.
Yep.
And one was Robbie Tiller had a real estate agent there for a number of years, a well known local real estate agent.
Yep.
And then he'd sold it to Thomas's from Warburton, but they wanted to just go back to Warburton.
Yep.
So I approached them and said, "How about selling me your rent roll and whatever," and that's how we got started. Now, my daughter, Lyndall, was just 20 years old then, and she and I basically started the business again there in Wooreeluk.
We're going to play your next song, Elvis Presley, Blue Suede Shoes. Why did you pick that one?
It's just the first song I ever heard from Elvis Presley.
Yep.
And always been a fan ever since. It was just not particularly that song, just everything Elvis Presley ever did or sang, apart from his films I wasn't too keen on, but anything he sang, I've always appreciated.
All right, let's listen to that.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go cat go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Let's go, guys. Drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay off my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoe. Rock it. The money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but step over my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby, blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but step over my blue suede shoe.
Andrew, just one more quick question. We're on to your where you've been. So you were here in Yarra in Wooreeluk. So then you moved in Wooreeluk.
Yeah, moved within about 6 months of reopening and realising that people hadn't forgotten my name and my company.
Yep.
And they said came back with a bang, and we were going very well.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity came to have the office right on the corner.
Yep.
Where Barry Plant Real Estate is now, but we went in there and basically did good business in Wooreeluk from the Wooreeluk estate. There was people moving in,
yep.
People moving out.
Yep.
And they always, you know, they'd ring you up a year or two later and say, well, we need to get back down the road because it's just too far up here.
Yep.
Andrew, come and you know, sell the joint for me. And fortunately, he was able to usually sell it for another 10 or 20 percent of what they, yep, they'd paid for it.
Yep.
So it was a good starting stepping stone for them, and they went back to where they came from, Lilydale or Bayswater, and carried on from there.
And so then you got out of Wooreeluk here, and then you went back to Yarra Junction, that place on the corner?
Yeah. Yeah, we started another business in Yarra Junction, which we always found that to be more central and more steady.
Yep.
The thing about Wooreeluk, I found that while you're selling homes in the estate, things were going well.
Yep.
But I noticed that more and more people were buying and they were staying. And the people that bought maybe 20 years ago, they probably still own those homes.
And you don't want them to do that.
No, well, that's no good to me. It was a real estate.
You don't need any money.
Yeah, so there just wasn't the turnover.
Yep.
You know, there's plenty of nice little farmlets around, but yeah, we didn't need two offices. I was finding that people were coming into the Wooreeluk office in the morning and looking around. They'd end up in our Yarra Junction office in the afternoon,
yep,
and they'd seen all the things. So we were just doubling up.
Oh, boy. Yep.
So I realised that we just needed the one centralised and just have the one office.
And it's a great spot.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving. Tom Jones, Green Green Grass of Home.
Well, this takes me back to the early days in Yarra Junction,
yep,
where our entertainment was our friends would come up from for an evening at our big house up in there in Yarra Junction,
yep,
a very, very social group. There was no TV.
Yep.
So what did you do for entertainment? They would some would get up and sing, some would tell little stories, and then they'd have this little practice of spinning the bottle.
Like you, I don't think I want to know this.
You're all standing around in a circle, spin the bottle. What's your party piece? Now, I had to have a party piece because I was not exempt from this.
Yeah.
And so somehow or other, this song had just come out, and I'd listened to it on my little transistor radio, and I thought, well, maybe I could do that. I could sing that song. I did, very badly, but that was my party piece, and that's what I remember.
Let's listen to it.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. And look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize, yes, I was only dreaming. For there's a God and there's a sad old portrait. On and on we'll walk at daybreak. Again, I'll touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to see me in the shade of that old oak tree as they lay me 'neath the green, green grass of.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I just must remind you that we're talking to Andrew McMath. Andrew has had a very successful career in real estate. He's retired now, so it's no good pestering him, although he probably still does bits and pieces on the side. But we're here talking about Andrew's life and how he got into real estate. Now, Andrew, there's always the inevitable question. What was your first car?
It's a 1926 Singer.
A Singer?
Singer.
Yep.
Soft top.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in the panel beating business, riding my push bike up to Warburton, there's an old mechanic just retiring.
Yeah.
And he happened to have this old car that he somehow just kept going.
Yeah.
And he sold it to me for a very tiny amount of money.
Yeah.
And I was 16 years old, so no license.
Yep.
And I would take the odd journey up to Warburton in it because... better than riding the push bike. And I thought I was not going to be seen by the local constabulary.
He probably did that.
Because it wouldn't stand out much, would it? And it had cellophane windows like you couldn't see in. Anyway, I didn't get booked in that, but I did get booked a couple of times in those years for driving without a license. But that was the worst of the things I did.
Ruby, there are medics. Our day will come. What's that in there for?
It's just a song that I remember playing on a car radio in the workshop. And
not in the old singer.
No. I'd gone up to work on a Sunday. There must have been a rush job on. Mm. Had to rub this car down so that we could paint it on the Monday.
Yeah.
And nobody else around.
Yeah.
And I was learning to drive, and everything that looked like I could get in and drive it, I would.
Yeah.
And so I backed out an FJ Holden, which I thought was in my way, but it probably wasn't. Backed it up the hill and parked it just above the railway crossing.
Yep.
Came back inside, working away, and I saw it go down the hill at a great rate of knots.
Yeah.
And I thought, the boss must have come and wanted to drive that, take it somewhere.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, almighty crash. And it had gone straight across the Warburton Highway, hit nobody, touched nothing.
Yeah.
Hit the curb on the bottom of the... Hit the shops along the bottom.
Yep.
Gone through Mills' fruit shop window and was sitting in amongst the bananas inside the shop. At which point I went and hid.
That wasn't going to do much good.
No. So that was my first little encounter with the law, because the local policeman, we knew them all very well.
Yep.
He said, "Andrew, did you drive that car up there and park it up there?" "Well, good Christian young fellow." I said, "Yes, Mr. Dunn, yes, I did." He said, "Oh, it's a shame. Thought you might tell me somebody else did." So I'm going to have to book you. Anyway, I got fined £1 and a smack on the wrist. And I had to fix the car.
I had to fix the car. Andrew, that's right, Our Day Will Come. We've talked about that. So we'll have Ruby and the Romantics, Our Day Will Come. Talking to Andrew McMath about his life as a real estate agent, or, pardon me, where he started off and how he became a real estate agent. He's had a, well, I don't say checkered career, but he started off as a panel beater, But you can't take a salesman out of a salesman. It doesn't matter whatever his job he does, and Andrew was obviously quite a good salesman. Andrew, I'd like to ask you, what was your most memorable sale? Now, it could have been the easiest, it could have been the hardest, or I don't know. You tell me.
Well, it goes back to the early 70s. There was a property in Millgrove, high on the hill, which if you were standing at the sawmill, for instance, and looking up the hill, there's a steep hill down, there's two or three streets, and any of the properties up there stood out. And this one stood out because it was called the Golf Ball.
The Golf Ball?
Yes, and it was some kind of project from a university where they just had built this house on a single pole and then spread a floor out from there and then built a hemispherical or spherical building, which looked exactly like a golf ball with the hexagonal sides.
Yep.
And it never ever got finished. And eventually it had fallen into disrepair and it had come into my office and said, well, we need to sell this place, to which quite an interesting variety of people who might be interested. So one fellow was absolutely taken with this project, thought he'd finish it all off. And so he put down his money and his a deposit, and about a week or so later he was coming up to pay his next deposit, which would have made it unconditional, and he wouldn't have been able to get out of the sale.
Yep.
There had been a big storm over that weekend the night before. And this fellow, I remember him clearly coming in with this white, ashen face, saying to me, Andrew, my house is not there. And what had happened was that the wind had got up and under the floor, which had rotted away, chipboard floor, and being a golf ball shape, they just had blown the whole thing up the side of the mountain. And there was...
That was the end of it.
That was the end of it.
There was nothing to sell.
Yeah, well, fortunately for him, he wasn't unconditional, so he got out of the sale.
And you didn't get your commission either?
No, I didn't, but I got it eventually because obviously the land was still there. And I remember the fellow, and still there today, the fellow that owned the land, he obviously was interested in doing something a bit different. He built what he called a threepenny bit house, which is like 12-sided coin. Like the old threepenny bit, and it's about three stories high. And as far as I know, it's still there today. I don't think that one blew away.
So you got to sell the land anyway.
Yeah.
Andrew, have you any idea as to how many dollars you've sold over the years? It'd be multi-millions, wouldn't it, over all the years you've been in real estate?
Yeah, it would be. But it's taken until these last two or three years for anything to sort of approach the million-dollar mark.
Yep.
You know, it took a long, long time. I remember... Clearly, the first house sold in Millgrove Estate for $100,000. Like, how was that going to ever happen?
But again,
look at them today; they're $500,000 and $600,000. Yeah. But it took a number of years, a lot of years, up until very recent times, because of interest rates and whatever. Interest rates have dropped so much in the last two or three years that mortgages have, you know, just become much bigger.
Yeah. And just quickly, you were saying that your daughter has followed you into real estate. Is she interested in, and we don't want to pry on her, but is she more interested in the rent roll or selling, or what side does she?
No, she was not interested in the rent roll. And so when we sold the business to Lyndall and to Ashley, my son-in-law, who had been working in the business for quite a long time and proved himself
Your employee.
He had what it took.
Yeah.
So we sold the rent roll. My wife and I decided we would. We would retire, and I would still work with the firm for a while, but we'd sell the rent roll, which is now Yarra Valley Rentals. That was my rental manager
next
at
door.
The time.
Oh,
next door.
Yep.
Very amiable arrangement. They do the rentals. Yep. We do the sales.
Yep.
And that's gone on for a good 10 years now. Fabulous.
Yep.
And Lyndall and Ashley bought the business. Because we just didn't want any nice, clean break. You know, that's yours. You do what you can with it.
And it's their money they're risking, not
it's
yours.
It's their money they're risking. And I tell you what, they've done very well.
Yep.
Mind you, the market's been very kind to them. And, but so have the people. And they're very good to people. And it's repeat business is what gets you you in business.
So what side of the business is Lyndall interested in if she's not? Well, the rent roll's gone, so
she wanted to do the rental side of it. Yeah. But she's very, very good at the administration, which is a power of work behind the scenes, and basically keeping, number one, your staff happy.
Yep.
It's a typical industry where people are coming and going. They all think they can do the job until they actually have to do the job. It's not as easy as you think.
We're running out of time. Neil Diamond and Holy Holy, why that?
It's just takes me back to a particular car that I love very much, an E.H. Holden 179.
Automatic?
It was an automatic, and it was the fastest thing around, and I had to put in a special radio that would really crank up the sound, and whenever Holy Holy come on, the foot went down and the volume went up.
Right, let's listen to this.
Thank you.